It's a beautiful morning. It's a great, wonderful opportunity God has given us to be here. Happy New Year. God has seen fit to give us the beginning of a whole new year for His glory. And what a blessing that is. Any visitors we have here, we're grateful that you're here. And we want you to know that it's a blessing to us that you chose to be here this morning. Thank you, and I pray that we are a blessing to you. Now, just a couple things here before I begin the lesson. Parents, grandparents, throughout this whole last year, the kids have been filling out my worship notes, right? I've saved every single one that they've given me. For every kid, there's a pile of these folders right here in the front row. And so after service, come and get that. Look at the names right here. And it's just really neat. This one's Little Miss Olivia's. I think she might have done the most. But it's just amazing. And you can go through and you could just see their progress through the year. And for those of you that don't know, they're keeping track of the worship service, right? They're writing these things down, and anytime the word God or Jesus or Holy Spirit's mentioned, they'll mark it down there, and they'll draw a picture of the sermon, and it's just neat to see how much they're paying attention to the lessons. And my favorite, I think Eli, he's drawn a picture of me a few times, and I'm very flattered at his rendering of me. So make sure you grab these when service is over. They're there in the front pew. Olivia, I'm going to put yours right here. And if you see the kids filling them out, encourage them to keep doing that. And it's just really neat. And I appreciate it. And I know the parents do also. And one more thing here. If you look on your bulletin, on the back side of it, you know, normally we have an outline of the Sunday morning sermon there. I didn't do that this time. I did an outline of our theme for the year. So make sure if you haven't grabbed one, grab one. And this year, our theme is going to be One Foundation. And we're going to talk about building up. And you'll see there, we're going to break it down in three different parts. And it's all based on Ephesians chapter 2, 19 through 22. January to April, we're going to talk about God's foundation. May to August, we're going to talk about Christ, our cornerstone, based on verse 20 there in Ephesians 2. And then September through December, we're going to talk about growing and building together, based on verses 21 and 22. And so grab that and pay attention to that, and I hope that it's beneficial to you as we talk about that this year and these first 4 months. As we begin talking about God's foundation, we're going to talk about some fundamentals to faith. Right? There's some things that we need to learn. There's some things that we probably have forgotten. And so we're going to focus on fundamentals of faith and also give us the tools to then share what we need to share with the lost and dying world around us. So that's our theme for the year. And I'd like you to pick up one of those if you haven't, pay attention, and then pray. I pray for success this year for our congregation. Now, I'm going to throw you off just a little bit here. Of course, our key verse for the year, Ephesians 2, 19 through 22, you'd think, well, he's going to start a sermon the new year using that verse. No, I'm not. I'm not going to do that. We're actually going to be in Colossians chapter 1 this morning. So if you have your Bible, open up to Colossians chapter 1. And the thing about it is that I want you to see Colossians is a sister book to Ephesians. And where Colossians is more the book of control, right? Am I going to allow Christ to control my life? Ephesians is a book of compliance. Right? Will I be compliant to Christ and how I walk in compliance? But we're going to be in Colossians chapter 1 this morning, and you're going to see that it parallels Ephesians chapter 1. And so I want you to think about some important things here as we get started. You know, and if we were going to summarize all of last year's lesson going into this year, what we're going to see is we're talking about growing with wholehearted devotion to God. And we're going to see some wonderful parallels. I'm about repetition and overlap. We're going to see that. You know, and we're going to be challenged in areas like proclamation and service and transformation. And I want us to also be aware, to be wise, not to be naive. You know, as we begin to grow and build as God wants us to, we need to be wise to Satan. Right? And when God's people start doing good, he's going to try to distract us. He doesn't want us to do good. He doesn't want us to grow. He doesn't want us to build on God's foundation. And so let's just be wise to that this year and not naive. You know, Satan loves to ambush, distract us over here, attack us from over here, just to take our focus off of what God wants us to do. So let's be wise to that this year as we look at these areas within God's Word. And so we're being challenged by God to grow, right? And when God is doing the challenging, growing, building, it's not an option. It's not an option. And, you know, it's this challenge here is very important for us to accept. Right? And sometimes I think maybe we hear a sermon, right? Maybe we're studying something in God's Word or in a Bible class and we're convicted and we say, yeah, I want to change. Right? And you see the need to change and there's this desire to change, but lots of times we're kind of just left there having that desire without any practical things to do, and then we never really make the change that we know we need to make. Right? Individually and collectively as a body of believers. Right? So we're gonna look at some very practical things to get us started here this morning for this new year. That's why I wanted to start in Colossians chapter 1. Right, it's one thing to say, I want to change, but then there's another thing about learning what you need to do to change and then taking action to make that change. And there's some very straightforward things that God tells us how to make that change. And I know you've been there. Maybe you're there now. You know you need to make the change. But how? Right, so we're going to answer that this morning. You know, we don't want to grow weary in doing good. And the key to not growing weary is continuous godly change. So let's read a little bit here. Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to back up from our scripture reading from earlier. And we're going to see here that there's some things that I need to hear, that I need to learn, that I need to know to begin this changing, to begin this building process. So if you have your Bible open, read with me beginning in verse 5. Let's be reminded of this. Because of the hope which is laid up in heaven for you. He's talking to Christians. Do you have the hope of heaven in you? I hope you do. If you don't, we need to get that in you as a child of God. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit. Talk about growing there, right? As it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God and truth. And he goes on to begin in verse 7, as you also learned. In other words, there's a body of information, there's evidence that you need to study, that you need to learn, that you need to know, that you need to respond to. Right? It'll give you that hope. See, that's where it begins. And so after having heard and learned, and now that you know some things, now the next part is growing in wholehearted devotion to God. That's the part where we usually, I know I need to, I want to, but how? So this morning, the time we have remaining here, we're going to look at three things from our text here in Colossians chapter 1 that's going to help us. That's going to help us do this, right? So I want you to look at verse 9 here, building with wisdom and spiritual understanding. This is where it begins. Read verse 9 with me here. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You see, to grow wholeheartedly in your devotion to God, it begins with prayer and it ends with prayer. We have to be a praying people. It's got to begin with prayer. It has to begin with us casting our minds to the spiritual. You know, how is your prayer life? Right? And you know the answer to that. Well, you know, I don't pray much. I struggle with my prayer, whatever. You know the answer to that. Right? We have to be a praying people. And like we've talked about in a recent Bible class, you know, if you haven't got that big prayer down, fill your day with little prayers. You know, thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for this new year. Thank you for the beautiful weather. Thank you for the rain. It's been dry lately. Right? You know, help me get to work safely. I pray I have a good work day, Lord. You know, help me glorify you today. Right? Fill your day with small prayers. And then when you can, hit your knees and pray those big prayers. So how's your prayer life? This gets us thinking here. Now, Paul believes so strongly in prayer that he continues to pray. Right? And you look at the text here, what I need to understand is to grow I must pray, and to pray is to change. You want to make that change, have that wholehearted devotion to God, you got to pray. You have to. If you're really struggling in your prayer life, like, I don't know what to pray. Well, let's sit down and talk. Let's pray together. I'll do my best to teach you. I'll talk to one of the elders, a faithful brother and sister. You know, ask them, how do you pray if you don't know? And let us help you in that endeavor here. And, what I need to understand in all of this, I think also, is if your faith, if your religion is a luxury and not a necessity, you're going to have some problems. We need to be a people who understand that our faith is an absolute necessity. Right? Jesus is coming back. Judgment Day is going to happen. Heaven and hell are real. I need to be prepared for that. My religion, my faith has to be a necessity, and it begins with prayer. And Paul here, you know, he's praying for the brethren that their life is filled with some things, filled with the knowledge of God's will and filled with this spiritual wisdom and understanding based on God's will. That was part of his prayer. Right? And this is a result of growth after hearing and learning and knowing the truth of the gospel. Brethren, we need to be a praying people. It's got to begin and end with prayer, and that prayer needs to be for spiritual wisdom and understanding. Wisdom is the application of knowledge, by the way. Our prayers need to be filled with that. Number two this morning, we need to pray. Or to pray is to change. I want you to read with me here verses 10 through 12. Now Paul says we pray in order that, or so that. Right? You see that? So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So Paul's prayer is to bring about personal change. You know, it's a change that draws us near to God as we sing. Draw me near, God, to thee. Actually, Brother Don's going to lead that song for us before our lesson this evening. We're going to have part two to this lesson here at 5 o'clock this afternoon. And I pray that you're a part of that worship service. Maybe that's what you need to start changing in your life, right? You know, if it's not your custom to gather with the church Sunday night, Wednesday, you don't make that your change this year. You won't regret it. I promise you that. I guarantee it's going to be more important than anything else you got going on. Right? And you're filling your life with good and godly things in the midst of good and godly people. Good things are going to happen. But we're going to talk about that this evening here. Again, you know, is your religion a luxury or is it a necessity? That's a question you need to answer. And when we wrap ourselves in prayer here that seeks to live a life worthy of the Lord and to please Him in every way, we're going to grow with wholehearted devotion to God. Right, and then wholehearted devotion to God, that's going to change us. That's going to change us. Jesus, when talking to his disciples, John the 15th chapter, And he's talking here that he is the vine and his followers are the branches. I want you to read with me if you have your Bible. John 15, beginning in verse 1. He says, I am the true vine and my Father's a vine dresser. Every branch in me who does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Your translation might say cleans, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken. Do you see that? He says that word which I have spoken to you, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. Listen, you cannot bear fruit unless you're attached to the vine of Jesus Christ. And I want you to remember this passage along with Hebrews 12, because we're going to visit this a couple times throughout the year. That's how important this passage is here. Listen, you might say, hey, I want to bear fruit, but you're not attached to the vine of Jesus Christ. That is impossible. Now, if you are attached to the vine of Jesus Christ, a natural product is you're going to bear fruit. Right? I don't have to go to a grapevine and beg it to bear fruit if it's attached to the vine and it's being pruned and watered and so. You don't have to beg it. It's just natural. It's going to produce. Now, here's something I want you to think about. You're going to bear fruit. Without a doubt, you will bear fruit, but what kind of fruit? Jesus addresses this in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, the 7th chapter. And I want you to think about this here. Matthew chapter 7. Listen, you're going to bear fruit. It's coming. But what kind of fruit? Listen to Jesus, verse 17. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. You're going to bear something. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. What kind of fruit are you going to bear? If you're attached to the vine of Jesus Christ, you're going to bear good fruit. It's part of that growing or building process that we're talking about. To grow with wholehearted devotion to God, we must pray so that we will bear the good fruit that the Lord has created us for, Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Because to grow, we must pray, and to pray is to change. Number three, finally this morning here, let's talk about the results. Let's talk about the results in verses 13 and 14. Our final point here is seeing, you know, remember, to grow I must pray, and to pray is to change. Remember that. And if I make this change here, if I'm dedicated to this growth process that God wants and desires from me, well, what is that going to lead to? Right, what will the results be if I do it God's way? Read with me verses 13 and 14. Actually, let's back up and read verse 12 to 14. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. If you read out of the King James, I believe it says transferred. I might be wrong on that. But you get the idea. And again, this is something we've been really talking about in our Bible class. Listen, without Christ, we're in darkness. Without Christ, we're in sin. Right? And thanks be to God, through the blood of Christ, He's going to deliver me, 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, out of that darkness, out of that sin, into His marvelous light. That's what He offers every one of us. It's also called into the kingdom of the Son of His love. This is all done by the grace of God, this forgiveness that we have access to through the blood of Jesus. Remember where we were before Christ. And this morning, if you haven't obeyed Christ, you're in darkness. Understand? Now, you might fool yourself and say you're not in darkness, but you're in darkness without Christ. So remember what we're saved from in all of this. Verse 13, for he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Do you see that? You see what you're saved from? That's a very powerful and uplifting statement that Paul gives us in all of this. That's the result. And it's there, I believe, to remind us that it's worth the effort. It's worth the work that we put into it to grow and to build. It's absolutely worth it because of what we have in Christ. And Paul, his prayer, giving thanks to God for qualifying us or translating us. But what has he qualified us for? Again, verse 13, to get us out of that darkness. And what a wonderful gift that is. Think about that. Do you need a motivation to grow? Are you struggling to find motivation to grow and to build? Are you struggling to find motivation to live a life wholeheartedly devoted to God? If so, think about this rescue here. It's a rescue operation, really. That's what your entire Bible is all about. It's a rescue operation for humanity. Right? That's what all the Old Testament's about. The rescue operation's coming. Right? The Redeemer's coming. Your New Testament, here's the rescue operation plan. You're in darkness. God wants to rescue you, and he does that through Jesus Christ. And he rescues us from the darkness. And so we must pray to thank God for this rescue operation and pray that we remain in the light and give thanks and have wholehearted devotion to God in this growing process. I want us to go in the Old Testament here and read a passage for you, and then we're going to finish up the lesson. I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 60. I want to read verse 2 to you. And I want to back up a couple chapters and give a little context here. Listen to Isaiah 60 and verse 2. It says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Can you see it? Do you get it? Now, if you backed up here, just a little bit of context, I think it makes it that much more impactful. If you went back leading up to that statement, Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, it's all about the suffering Messiah. And it goes into very graphic detail what the Messiah is going to go through, suffer through, for humanity's rescue operation from the darkness. And you go on to chapter 54, God basically talks about there's a new covenant coming for all people. It'll no longer be the law of Moses for the Jews, but there's going to be a new covenant that's going to come, and it's going to be for all people. And you go to chapter 56, it's all about the abundant life. Verse 3, verse 9, verse 11. That's what Jesus came to bring in John, the 5th chapter. And then again, in verse 56, salvation is coming for all people. Verse 57, he talks about there's going to be this healing for the backslider, basically. Right? For those who are in darkness, those who are struggling in sin. And really, it's all about, it doesn't matter what you've done in your past. It doesn't matter what your failures are. It doesn't matter what you struggled with. There's an answer coming. It's going to be the Messiah. And you get to start over. Chapter 58. Now, what does pleasing God look like? That's what the chapter's about. In other words, how to walk worthy for the Lord that we see in Colossians 1 and verse 10. And then in verse 59, you have this reminder of what separates us from God. It's our sin. It's our iniquity. It's our transgressions. God never goes anywhere. We want what we want, and we separate ourselves from God. But then, chapter 60, there's the answer. We read verse 2, now let's read verses 1 and 2 together. Here's the answer. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. What a wonderful message. That's a powerful message right there. It's a message going back to Colossians chapter 1. That's the message that we have to hear, that we have to listen to, that we have to believe, that we have to respond to, that we have to learn, that we have to know. It's a message that we become a part of, and it's a message that gives us life, and it gives us hope, and it gives us strength to grow then with wholehearted devotion to God. So pray. God has given us a brand new year to begin with. What are you going to do with that? Right? And if that seems like too big of a task, then take it one day at a time. Today, Lord, I'm going to be successful for you. Today, Lord, I'm going to glorify you with my life. Tomorrow, it's going to worry about itself. But today, I'm going to be victorious in Christ. And then you do it the next day. And then you do it the next day. And that next day, if you fail, get back up and start over. And you never give up. You never give up because you remember what we've been rescued from. To grow, I must pray, and to pray is to change. Now, we're going to read just a couple more verses here in Colossians chapter 1, and the lesson's going to be yours. And I want you to read with me verses 15 through 18. 15 through 18 here in Colossians chapter 1. And I want you to listen closely. If you've read this many times, I want you to listen again with fresh ears, because you got a fresh new year here. Talk about Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is ahead of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. Do you get a picture of who Christ is? I don't think you'll find a more in-depth description of who Jesus is. He's God in the flesh. And you have this reminder of who he is. If you read just verses right before that, he died for you. He's the one who came to die in your law place. You need motivation to make wholehearted change, to have wholehearted devotion to God. Remember who Jesus is. Let me read verses 19 through 23 here, and the lesson is yours. Verses 19 through 23. Now, if you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, that means you've never put on Christ in baptism with a responsive faith. I want you to listen. God has given you a new year. He's given you a new opportunity to get into Christ. So if you haven't obeyed the gospel, I want you to listen to this. And if you have, and you went back to a lifestyle of sin, you went back to darkness, you separated yourself from God, I want you to listen. Let's read this together, and then we're going to have a song of invitation here. Verse 19, "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell." Again, he's talking about Christ. He's God in the flesh. He came and he died for you, right? "And by him to reconcile," pay attention to that word, "and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works," you were in darkness and sin, right? "Yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through his death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." Where are you this morning? How are you doing? Right? Have you taken personal inventory in a while to see where you're at? Are you willing to be honest with yourself and God? If you need to put on Christ in baptism this morning, let us help you. If you need to come back, or if you just need prayers and encouragement, don't hesitate. Let someone know as we stand, as we sing.